rest in peace. Kobe Bryant, rest in peace. His daughter, Gianna. Rest in peace, everybody else. That was on that helicopter. Very sad. It's sad times in L.A. right now.
It was gloomy that day.
Dog.
The whole day.
You know, like, when Nipsey died, when he got murdered, it was sad, but I felt like it was sad to black people, and it was sad to people
that in hip-hop.
And it was sad to people that went to school with Armez, that's his name, his real name, Armez. But Kobe, it was... You know, it's of course it's all sad, but it was beautiful to see how this dude touched everybody. Yeah. You know what I mean?
My mom called me.
My dad called me too.
And that's like, if my mom calls me, then you're like famous.
Yeah.
And that's like crazy, and you touch people. I was in the middle of talking to my roommate about some. We're just bitching and complaining about comedy and our place in it and blah, 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 blah. And then I got the text from my sister. And then I went on Twitter.
Yeah.
Then I went on Google and I was like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
And I completely stopped our conversation. I was like, what the fuck are we talking about again? Oh, some shit that doesn't matter?
Yeah.
And then I had to shake off that comedic cynicism that we have.
Of course.
Where it's like, oh, man, it's just I don't know that dude.
Yeah.
I don't know Kobe. But that shit affected me in a way, like, almost like my dad dying.
Yeah.
Even more so, because, like, Kobe was, like, one of the people I modeled, especially when I started comedy. And I lost my way a bit. But now that I'm on the right track, he's one of the people I remodeled myself after. Just the
drive.
The drive, the focus.
Grind.
There's a picture of him in... Lakers uniform with pajama pants on and a broken hand
shooting
left-handed.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, that's the shit I was doing when I first started doing comedy. Like, waking up early in the morning, listening to my set, getting out, listening to an hour writing in at the very least, you know what I mean? Yeah. Just being like, no one's up at 5. I know you said the smile on my face, like, no one's up at 5:30 writing right now. I feel like Kobe.
I feel like that's the beauty of... I just put out a tweet recently just saying that it's really cool to see Kobe influencing everybody and pushing everybody and motivating everybody, even in the afterlife. And I think that's what we're all striving for, is to have a legacy like that.
An impact like that.
Yeah, yeah. It's so sad, but it's beautiful to watch... impact. And I know Kobe is looking and seeing, like, man, I didn't realize. Well, I'm sure he did realize how he touched people, but I think it's way beyond sports. It's the grind. It's that you can do it, you can better yourself, you can always try to better yourself and keep pushing, man. And that's the beauty of it, man.
Also, I love the way he approached fame.
Yeah.
Because the way he approached fame, he's just a naturally confident dude.
Totally.
He's very confident. Someone would say cocky.
Yeah.
But he's self-aware.
Yeah.
He's so self-aware. If you look at his commercials, they're funny.
Yeah.
They're super funny.
That one with him and Kanye?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that was great.
Be a different animal, but the same beast.
Kanye's like, what the fuck? But now it makes sense what he's saying. Yeah.
That deadpan delivery he had, there's one where a group of kids take, like, a road trip to meet NBA stars at, like, their home, their places, whatever. And if they meet LeBron and they go to Kobe's house, and Kobe's, like, on some Zen garden thing, and, like, there's this little Asian girl with him, and he has, like, a room full of shark tanks, right? And, like, everyone's like, and everyone goes, how come there's no sharks in it? And the little girl goes, because you are the shark. And then Kobe's like,
there you go.
I was like, it's poignant and it's funny. And I was like, he was a funny, he reminds me of, like, he had the swag of, like, Obama, but, like, more self-confident, because there's something about basketball players, man. It's like, you, especially we as black dudes, we connect to basketball players unlike any other athlete. Like, back in the day, I guess for our dads, it would be boxers, but for us, it's like...
basketball.
It's basketball.
It's rhythm. It's dance. It's ballet. It's strength.
Mm-hmm.
It's a attitude of, like, because you're constantly having to go at somebody. Yeah. I have to go at you, and then you have the time to go at me.
Yeah.
So it's a pure back and forth.
And it's mental?
Totally.
Right? Because at the end of Kobe's career, he didn't have that athleticism
when he was... I can't do the same thing I used to do. I gotta J you up, and I gotta fuck with your head to let you think I still got the strength, and then show it every once in a while. I remember, like, his last... yeah, he dunked on somebody, and he was like, "Oh, I can't do that. I can't do this no more." But it's like, I got to show you that I still can, so you can still back up off me, so I can hit this J.
Those anticipation, like the footwork at the end of his career, the fact that he, like, he would be on defense and he would move to a spot before you move to that spot, knowing you're gonna be there. But in his younger days, he would have just went with you.
Yeah.
But now he's just using his brain. It was just beautiful to watch how he he just evolved with the game like that. And also, well, another reason why I love Kobe, because he's my favorite. I just, you know what I'm saying? He's my favorite. Is when LeBron came in and he put those expectations of, I'm going to be the next Jordan.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't say that in so many words, but he did say that kind of, like, the chosen one, and I'm trying to strive for to be like Jordan.
Totally.
I'm
chasing the number, kills, everything,
the number and everything. And then once the pressure got hot, it was like, no, I'm just LeBron. I'm trying to be the best LeBron that I could be. If that ends up me being the best player in his basketball, that's fine. When Kobe, it was just like, oh man, you're trying to be like Jordan? Yep. Not only am I trying to be like Jordan, I'm trying to be better than Jordan.
When he changed his number to 24, I thought
that was over Jordan.
That's the rawest. And, you know, it took me a while, like, because I hate a guy. Growing up, I was like, man, this dude's too cocky.
Yeah.
You know, he's just trying to emulate Jordan. But it took me a while to get to the point where it's like, he just wanted to be the best.
And the best was Jordan. So he's like, I'm going to be. And then when, I love it when, like, because I feel the same way when I'm, like, on a show and I see, like, a veteran comic, you know what I mean? And I'm just like, and they're funny as fuck. And I'm just like, oh, man, I see you, but wait till you get a load of what I do.
Yeah, I'm going to try to blow you out the water.
I'm going to try to make it so hard for you.
Yep, good.
So Jimmy Schubert was at the West Side, and we did a show. And he goes, I get off, and he goes, you trying to make me work?
Yes.
And I was like, yep.
Exactly.
And when Jordan, when he stepped on the floor with Jordan, especially like the All-Star game, Jordan was like, man, it's just an All-Star game. He's like, nah, you're Jordan.
Yep.
I'm going to bust this. I'm going to bust your ass.
I'm coming at you. No, that's the mentality. I think
he embraced that pressure of like, yeah, I want to be, you know what I mean?
I want to beat you.
And he came that close.
Oh, yeah. I think he definitely. I mean, 5 rings.
One he should have won, but there was extenuating circumstances that year.
Oh, yeah. You know.
And
even that. I mean, you know, I'm fine talking about the rape...
Allegations
and charge. You know, it's false. I think it's... I mean, I don't agree with what happened. I think people have faults, and I think it's nice to see someone learn from their faults and try to still be a better person after their faults. And I think, I don't know the man, but I think that's what, I hope that's what he did and learned.
That's what he did and learned.
Yeah. I'm a big person that loves the WNBA, right?
Right.
I grew up playing ball. I grew up playing against women that were good. You know what I mean? That were like, you know, cats be like, oh, this girl can't play. Nah. Tangi Williams.
I heard that name before.
Tangi Williams and LaToya. I forget Toya's last name. Mm-hmm. But these were girls in like my rec league that could ball. Girls that you'd be like, oh, I want Tangi on my team. First pick, I want Tangi on my team. And so it made me respect women's basketball. It was not even a respect. It was just like, oh, these girls can ball just like us. They got breasts and, you know, they might not be physically as strong as us when we got older, but they knew the techniques and can ball, and they knew the game and everything. And I love that Kobe was
promoting women's basketball.
Yeah, with his daughter, and I just felt like it would have. I felt like if he was around, it would have helped women's basketball more. But they're doing great. They're getting paid more. I don't know if you saw that in the news like last week or so, but
and I can't wait for in 10, 20 years. Because the generation, and not to sound, throw hot water on something, you know what I mean? Cold water on something by having a negative opinion. But I can't wait for 10 to 20 years from now when the women are playing, like the women, the young ladies that are playing in the Mamba league right now, they're going to have kids.
Yep.
They're going to have kids. And the fan base for the WNBA, for basketball in general, it's gonna be crazy.
Yeah,
and for soccer too.
Totally.
Because they're those young ladies that are playing it right now, they're gonna grow up and be young women, and they're gonna actually pay to see other young women perform.
Totally.
As opposed to what's going on now, when the women of our generation today are not paying to go see women perform like that. And that's not a bad or wrong thing, because you like what you like, and if you don't like sports, that's fine.
I don't think that's... I mean, I've been to WNBA games. Women come out and support. There's women at the games.
Women do come out and support, but there's more... Those are basketball fans.
True.
I'm talking about the casual person who's like, I gotta see LeBron once in my lifetime.
Yeah.
I gotta see Gina Bryant once in my lifetime.
It's a mindset. I think...
I had to see Gina Taurasi one time. Because I seen her on TV.
Diana Taurasi.
Diana Taurasi, sorry. Mm-hmm. I'm confusing for a coach from UConn.
Gina.
I had to see her.
Because Diana's a beast.
The way she plays, it's like, it's fucking art.
Yeah.
I gotta see that.
Yeah. Diana can play in the league. Yeah.
I gotta see Sue Bird play.
That was one thing Kobe said. Maybe like last week, he was like, "It's certain women in the WNBA could definitely play in the league."
Yeah,
Maya Moore, who's taking the last 2 years off
for protests.
Well, not just for protests, because she's also trying to like do other things. Mm-hmm. I mean, how great is she? She's by far the best player in the league. It's like LeBron saying, "You know, I'm gonna stop being in the NBA for a little while because I think we need to work on." Jail, the treatment of prisoners in jail and shit, prison reform and whatnot, who's just so dope and fine. You know, I'm sorry. I'm going to be that dude. Fine.
I respect your game first, but you got a cute face.
I respect all the WNBA players, you know, and they fine, though, too. So,
Candace Parker, I see you,
fine,
girl.
Fine. Candace gorgeous. I mean, you know, I mean, women go to the games and they like the dudes is fine, too. Mm-hmm. I'm like, look, I feel the same way. I'm going to the games. I love the way y'all ball. But you also are gorgeous. So, you know, hopefully that'll bring more attention to the WNBA.
And shout out to my favorite fictional basketball player. I don't even know her name, but whoever Sanaa Lathan played in Love and Basketball. That's my favorite basketball player. Yeah. My favorite fictional basketball player.
I hope that did real good. My beef with the WNBA is that it's going to the games. It's too ran... Dudes have too much influence in the WNBA running it. I think they should promote. Two lesbians. You know, I feel like they have like this connotation of like we don't want to promote the game as lesbians are playing in the WNBA.
Lesbians play in the WNBA.
Yeah, it's gay dudes playing basketball. It's gay rap. Look, man,
Rapinoe is the biggest female athlete, arguably, as we speak right now.
We got to lose that sense of bullshit. It is what it is, and it's fine, and it's beautiful. Yeah. I think they need to embrace it. And I think more dudes in the NBA need to start supporting the WNBA.
Yeah, it's not an either-or. It doesn't have to be you're sexy and or you have to be taken seriously. It could be both.
I think it should be a women's football league. There's a women's football
America's
league.
Not ready for that.
Oh, I mean, there's a lingerie football league that is so fucked up that they got to play in these like draws and shit. But these women are balling. I mean, they playing good, and I would totally watch that game. Even though football is so brutal and the concussions and everything is just awful, but yeah, I would love to see that. I just want to see an equal platform for everybody, man. I'm so tired of people just being so dumb and switching up things with sexuality and having beefs with it. And I'm just like, man, just let... We're all human beings. We all have talents. And let's just ball, man. Let's just put it out there and let's ball. And respect it.
Mamba mentality?
Mamba mentality. All day. So rest in peace, Kobe. We love you. Love your daughter. Love everybody that was in that accident. We got to do something with helicopters. Helicopters is like, man, we need to figure out something, man.
I think it's one of the seedy things about this town, LA, that we live in, is that celebrities and people with power get to do things that others don't. And I'm not talking about riding helicopters.
Yeah.
I'm talking about if it's foggy and the LAPD grounds their airplanes. If the LAPD doesn't want to fly their helicopters, we live in a town where that could be that's a thing, but if Kobe wants to fly his helicopter, he can because he's Kobe.
Yeah.
And I was telling somebody today, I was like, if I was that pilot, I would have been like, fire me.
Nah, I mean,
I'm not flying you. Fire me.
You know,
because the fog was thick that
morning. Yeah, it's just bad altogether. Mm-hmm.
Not to blame anybody or whatever.
No, of course not. Of course nobody's.
It's a factor in this town.
Shit happens, you know. It reminded me of Aaliyah when that happened. And it's just bad and sad. But so cool to see. I've never seen so many people mourn. I went to Best Buy. Went to Best Buy to pick up this new mic that we're using right now.
Yeah.
Right after the gym, came home, showered up, and I was like, let me go out. Well, I was at the gym when I got the information. Janelle texted me from Africa, and she's like, did you hear about Kobe? And I was like, what?
What the fuck? From Africa,
she texted me. And I was like, what? And then I went on Twitter, and it had been on Twitter a minute. And I started looking at every dude at the gym, look at their phones, and like tearing up, getting sad. Everybody's just checking their phone to make sure it's true or not true. I was in disbelief for a while.
I didn't believe it.
Just waiting for somebody to do like a fake vein. And then I went to Best Buy, and everybody in Best Buy was hurting. I saw black people mourning. I saw white people mourning. I saw Asian people mourning. I saw Latino people mourning. I saw workers mourning. I saw people looking at computers just sad. Everybody needed a hug. It just felt like that. And
I love the way it did affect the town, because this town is diverse.
Totally.
But it's spread apart.
Segregated.
Segregated.
Segregated like a motherfucker.
It's segregated, but... East LA, where Mexicans are at, Koreatown, Little Armenia. Yep. I drive all around this town almost every day.
Hollywood. Hills.
Everyone's affected.
Everybody.
Rich, poor, in between.
Yep.
It's like thugs, nerds, everybody. And that's how you know you had like a real impact. And you like he gendered emotion in people. Like one of my favorite commercials ever is him talking about being booed at different arenas, and they show everyone booing him at different arenas, and he's like, I love it. It gives me energy, right? But those people who booed him love to boo him.
Duh. My favorite memory of Kobe is like maybe his second year in the league, and it's a playoff and they're playing against Utah. And he is airballing threes. I mean, and I remember watching the game, and I was like, he's still shooting. He's still shooting these threes and airballing and missing. And I was like, man, I didn't like him. I didn't like Kobe just because, like, you know, I just thought he was just trying to be
Jordan.
And I thought he was good, but I didn't think he was that good, especially at that point. But it was something about seeing a dude just airball, like, three threes. Airball, right? And come back down and take another one. It's just like, I don't give a fuck. You can stab me. I'm going for it. I'm going for it. And it's a beauty in that, man. It's a beauty in that.
Also, style icon. Everyone made fun of him the way... Yeah. nappy fro, and everyone made fun of him for wearing slacks and like Henleys and shit like that. Yeah. Not how everyone dresses.
That iconic picture of him. Yeah, everybody's wearing that now. He was on the Jedi, the Jedi Luke Skywalker shit before everybody was on it. Everyone let it go.
Everyone's on their athleisure shit. Yeah, and he's been on his like classy athleisure shit. You know what I mean? And it's like
international dude.
And he took Brandy to the prom. You don't know how big that is when you're like. He's fucking 4 years older than me, but he was four. I'm 13. He's 17, and he's like, and I'm going to the NBA. Also, my prom date is Brandy. Yeah. Do you understand? Like,
it's big.
That's iconic shit right there.
Married a beautiful Mexican woman. You know what I'm saying?
Speaks fluent Spanish.
Yep. And Italian.
And Italian.
And speaks other languages. I mean, they said he was talking to Luka Doncic in Slovak. You know what I mean? Just an iconic dude with faults.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not going to, you know, I'm sure people like, what about the faults, you know?
Yeah, but it's not the time for that shit.
No, but, know, but I still embrace that too because I think everybody has faults and everybody can learn from something, you know? Just because you did something wrong. You know, I grew up with Michael Vick. You know, I know Vick. I know him. You know, last time I saw Vick, I was at Virginia Beach just walking with some homies. Vic came to me and said, what up, Trent? This is when Vic has already been in the league 2 years. You know what I mean? So I know the dude. And to see him go through all of that and to see him come back around and learn from his faults and be a better player and do stuff for the Humane Society. When he could have just been like, fuck you, that. I'm not, y'all took all this shit. But he changed. I just love to see that a person can have growth. And a person can change, and if they want to,
and he did it,
and he did it with
action too, because you can tell when he's with his. I just know, like, if I ever have, when I have kids, if I have a daughter, I want my daughter to look at me the way she looked at him.
Yeah, man.
Like from what I saw, it was just like. And 13-year-olds don't like their parents.
Not usually. I'm sure she ain't like her dad all the time.
Yeah.
You know?
But, like, to have a thing, as somebody who didn't have, like, a thing with their parents, like, a thing that, like, there's nothing, like, me and my mom can do right now that's, like, our thing. You know what I mean? We can't go, like, let's go spelunking or whatever the fuck. But, like, they had a thing. You know what I mean? And usually parents are just too busy. They're working and their excuses. I'm working to provide for you. But, like, you know. You should have a thing with the to know them, and he had a thing with her, which was like
she was dope. She was gonna be good too. She was gonna be good.
There was a picture of her eating her jersey, basically. Like I saw that. I was like, she's a killer.
She was gonna be good.
Killer. She was
gonna be good. That's what makes it, you know, so sad, but also beautiful, because a lot of people wouldn't be having these conversations. A lot of people wouldn't be. Thinking about life and thinking about how precious it is, you know, if this wouldn't have happened. So,
yeah, and I'm gonna start playing basketball again.
You are?
Yeah, I'm gonna start playing basketball.
Yeah, go ahead.
I just thought of that right now. I'm gonna start playing ball. I'm gonna start playing ball by myself first. Get my wind up, and then I'm gonna start playing against short Mexicans right here at the park next to us.
Oh, I used to play at that park all the time,
so
dog.
I used to play all the time.
Run point and play center. All the time. I remember I posted something and Frankie got mad at me about something because I said, like, I'm the tallest dude in the court. And it was like, whatever. They ball. They out there balling.
Shout out to the Guatemalans playing ball in the park.
No doubt.
We love you. But I'm going to start playing ball again.
I did a show. The homie Zach Sherwin, rapper, comedian. Good dude. I remember seeing Zach. I remember seeing Zach in like early 2000s. He would come down to San Francisco and he would do shows, and I did not like him. I was like, who is this dude rapping? And but we've grown. I've grown too, and we've had a relationship, and I love this dude so much now. Great dude. He has a great concept. He has a show called Crossword, where he puts together this whole crossword puzzle within a rap and has comedians come up and figure out the crossword puzzle. And it's so in-depth. And anyway, I helped him do like some like interlude thing where I come out with two other guys named Greg, and we sing like a song to like pump the crowd up in the middle of it. And anyway, when I was there, I ran into an old comedian buddy of mine, Moshe Kasher. Yeah, me and Moshe go back way back. I'm hosting on his first album, so and I haven't seen Moshe in a while. And yeah, we're talking. And then a comedian came. It was a picture of a comic on the big screen. I guess she's going to be there soon. And Moshe made a joke about her. And I was like, you know what, man? She's actually gotten better. Mm-hmm. Not a comedy. She's funny. Right. But just like, interpersonally, she wasn't the nicest person. I think the fame got to her a little bit. And I just said, yeah, she's, you know, something has happened to her. And I think her ego took a hit and she's nicer to people. Yeah. I did a show with her like maybe a month ago and she was nice to everybody. And Moshe said something. He was like, man, people can change. And I was like, you're right. Yeah, man, people can change. I think we also got to give people the capacity to change. And that just set on things. Sometimes I get in a mode where, like, if somebody's an asshole, I'm just going to just let them be an asshole. But I'm also trying to have the inner strength to give them room to change when they do change. Yeah.
Listeners, Greg has this rule. I don't know. Can I divulge the rule?
Oh, talk about the rule. I was talking about the rule with, yeah. It's funny because I did a podcast, like maybe 2 months ago with Jonathan Rau and Katie French.
Okay.
And Jonathan was like, yeah, you know, somebody had this rule where, you know, when somebody gets famous, you got to give them a year.
Yeah.
And I was like, motherfucker, that's me. I told you that rule. Yeah. So you can tell.
Yeah. Tell them. So the rule is when somebody pops, right? And it doesn't matter. In our business, pop can mean you got a writing job and you got a little bit more say, seniority. But when you really pop and you're on TV and people know you, Greg has a rule. It's like, you give them a year to be an asshole.
Yeah.
Because you have to give people, because it's, you don't understand. I don't even understand it because I'm not famous, but I've seen it on the outside. And I've always, on the outside, I've been like, I don't think I want to go through that.
It's
like, I want to be able to, like, go to the store or, like, you know what I mean? Do whatever I want to and not have to be hassled or have a confrontation with a whatever and not be seen as the biggest asshole because I'm famous now.
Yeah.
When I did that 2 weeks ago when I wasn't famous, you know what I mean?
It's hard to, people don't understand in our business of being a comedian, you could be somebody sleeping on somebody's couch in January and by September have enough money to buy a house. You know, I mean, it can be that fast. Yeah. It can happen that fast. And within that shift, you got to understand the mindset. Like, it's hard for people to go from nothing to something. When I met Gerard Carmichael the first time, this was like 2010. I met him at like this bar and grill on Sunset, like over there by Guitar Center.
Okay.
Down the street from the Comedy Store. This dude had holes in his shoes. Holes in his shoes. Funny.
Yeah.
Had holes in his shoes, though, I remember. He didn't look bad. It looked rough, though, you know. And this dude now has, 4 years ago, he already had two HBO specials, a show, multimillionaire at this point. It's just, and I'm not saying Gerard, he's not the person I'm talking about. Gerard's never been an asshole. But you got to understand, it's hard for people to jump from this to that within a matter of months, and you got to give people time to be an asshole and learn themselves.
This is why I'm glad I'm taking the approach I'm taking to whatever I'm doing with this thing, because I can be deemed as an asshole already, and I don't want to be that when I do make it. I don't want to be that guy's like, he changed.
Look, you're going to change. I think with anything, you're going to change. It's about how you deal with your changing and being, like you said, self-aware and not going too far and, you know, being able to control that ego. Because It's not the money. It's not the money. I don't think it's the money that fucks with people. I think it's the fame.
Yeah.
That fucks with people more than anything.
There's a I was watching this documentary, and Mos Def was on there, and he was talking about how when Black Star blowed up, whatever, and he was like, "Yeah, man, it was like what drove us was like the passion and things, like, you know what I mean, for the music and the art, elevate the art." And he goes, "And money wasn't the driving." Like he goes, "Money was in the car, but it wasn't the driver or the engine."
Yeah.
Then he goes, "But it was like in the, it was in the car. It was in the front seat.
Yeah, it was there. Of course."
And he just turns to the front seat. He's like, "Are you comfortable?
Yeah.
Are you doing okay?"
And then that money comes.
Is the temperature good for you?
It changes. It's, you know, Lauryn Hill. It's funny how money changes the situation. It's true, man. It's that, that shit is
Or Method Man.
Yeah.
When he had that thing on, he's like, "Did money change me?" Yeah, I got new shoes, new drawers, whatever. It's like, yeah, it's gonna change. It's gonna change you, but especially in this town.
Because people treat you differently.
Yeah.
And people, it's hard to deal with that.
There'll be somebody who wouldn't let you in this club on Tuesday. And then the next week, it's like, "Oh, Greg.
Wide open.
I haven't, long time no see."
And how do you deal with that? And how do you let things go?
Yeah. Without being vindictive, like, "Oh, this asshole was like, what the fuck? Now I'm somebody." Yeah.
Yeah. It's two dudes. It's two dudes in a game. That I knew one dude, okay, Rory Scovel. Alright, I knew Rory from didn't know him that well, but he would come down to San Francisco and I'd see him and I'm like, "Oh, this dude's funny." Funny dude. And then when I moved out here, I met his fiance at the time, his wife, and then my girl and his wife became really good friends. And that just opened me and Rory. I was just around Rory more. Yeah. And that's a dude who, throughout all of his fame, Rory's big time. Movies, humble, nice, always been that dude. Right. And it's another guy, why am I forgetting his name right now? Beard, hat, white guy, Not Zach. God.
Famous?
Yeah, famous.
Comedian?
Yeah.
Like stand-up comic?
Yeah. I can't. Oh, I feel bad. I remember his
bearded name. White guys with hats.
Oh, I feel so bad. People will be like, "Man, you can forget." Yeah. Good dude. I met him in San Francisco. I've done shows when I'm out here. Every time I do a show when I'm out here, super cool. Always like, "Yo, let's hang out. Let's get some drinks." I'm like, "I don't drink no more, dog." You know, but always good dude. But yeah, it's like you don't have to
be an asshole.
You don't have to be an asshole, but it's hard. It's hard for people. People don't. Everybody's not the same, and I think it's hard for people to learn how to deal with that and to learn that none of this is real.
Yeah.
Anyway, you know, it's not. You know, we should be blessed to be in the position to be able to make money. I mean, fuck making money. We should be blessed to be in a position to be able to get on a stage and to have people's ears and hearts listening to what we say and provide them with laughter, which is the biggest gift you can give to us. Making people making people laugh is better than money. It's better than sex. It's better than food. Telling a joke that you wrote in your brain and going on stage and making 100 people laugh feels so good.
It's my favorite thing that I do.
Yeah.
It's off stage. I love saying something, making a joke. I love saying stuff that I know I'm never going to say on stage and just making my friends and like strangers laugh.
That's why we do it.
Yeah. I remember one of my favorite things to do ever, me and my boys back home, like we'll be like on a bus or something, or like on a shuttle somewhere, and then we'll have these conversations, and ultimately the van or whatever will get quiet, and everyone's listening to our conversations.
Yeah.
And then I'll say something, or Chris will say something, and like the whole van is laughing, and we're just giving them a show. And we used to do this for like, I know Chris since I was 12 years old, so we used to do like for years. I was like, "Oh, that's my favorite thing to fucking do is just make people laugh.
It's the reason. It's the reason why we do this, yeah. And it's a gift, man. And you know, we should
shout out to the disabled lady who I made laugh, who I parked in her spot, and I couldn't see the spot because it was, yeah. But I parked in her spot, right? And she came up to me barely in front of my car. She stopped. She goes, "Are you handicapped? You parked in a handicapped space. Tell me right now, are you handicapped?" And I look at her and I go, "Who is it?" And she starts laughing and she goes, "Good one. Good one. Get the fuck out of my space. But good one." Beautiful. And I was like, I love that.
Yeah.
The way
yeah.
it diffuses the situation.
Totally.
Yeah.
And you're like, yeah, you're right, my bad. This girl's good. You know?
It's the best thing to do. If you can make someone laugh, try to do that, guys. Just try to make people laugh. Just try to make them happy.
Be good to people, man.
Yeah, because it is the best feeling in the world to do it.
It's the fucking best.
I just can't wait to get paid.
That's why people don't pay comics. That's why a lot of comics don't get paid.
Yeah.
It's because we would still do this for free.
I'm going to be doing, even if I never get paid, I will be doing this until the day that I'm going to be Richard Pryor in the fucking wheelchair. And I'm going to have that new bit.
George Carlin.
I'm going to be there.
Deathbed, just telling jokes, man. Because it just feels good. Feels good.
I just hope people had the thing just to bring it back to Kobe and just in regular people's lives. Like, if you could find that thing that you would do for free, do that.
Do that shit. It's hard.
It's hard, but do that.
Do that. Because
I measure... Here's a... And shout out to Doug, because...
Doug Dixon,
my DMT brother.
No doubt. Did y'all do some DMT?
No, we didn't do some DMT, because that's the thing. That's another 5 years in the making. Woo! I got to be mentally prepared for that again. But now, everything I do is stacked up against, on my deathbed, my hypothetical deathbed, right? Mm-hmm. Even if I don't get a chance to have a deathbed. If I'm on my deathbed, is that the thing I want to think about? That's what I stack up everything to.
Yeah.
Everything, when I feel frustrated now, when I feel petty or whatever, I feel like, am I going to think about this when I'm dying?
Yeah.
No, probably not. So is it that important? So everything now is stacked up against deathbed. Are you deathbed worthy? It's like that old Seinfeld episode which Villain was like, are you sponge worthy? Because they ran out of like sponges for like... prophylactic sponges.
Oh, okay.
And then discontinued them, and she brought like a fucking like
a huge amount,
and she's like, she had a rash of them. So she was just like, she's like interviewing guys. She's like, okay, are you? It's like, no, I'm gonna cut my hair. And it's like, I told you about your hair. Because, hey, I'm gonna do it. It's like, okay, you're worthy. You're sponge worthy. Now everyone has to be deathbed worthy.
It's dope. Speaking of Seinfeld, I've been watching Curb Your Enthusiasm, the new episodes. Man,
I haven't watched the second one. The first one.
Larry David's a genius.
He's the man.
Larry David is a genius. Like, I feel like the last season, I was like, it's funny, but it got slowed down a little bit.
Yeah.
But, man, he came out swinging.
It was kind of disjointed with the fatwa thing. Yeah. It was, but this one...
Swinging. The Me Too stuff and, like, just the way he... just the way an old Jewish man can, like... bring it to the table and talk about something, and it could, you already know it's an idiot talking about it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
But it's very, at the same time, it's very poignant at some point.
Oh, even for
the
sure. jokes.
Because it's like when he's talking to JB and he's just like, do you like your color? It's like, no, why would I like my color? And they're just talking about his color. It's like you're like a tapioca, blah, blah. And it's like, it's just so funny the way, and then the first minute when they're walking down the street is such great social commentary.
You see Brandon Wardell's in the first episode?
What is he?
The kid he bumps into, and he's like, well...
That's Wardell. That's him?
That's Wardell, yeah.
That's the social comment talking about, when he just... And he doesn't even acknowledge it. He just breaks the stick.
Yeah.
He just pushes down the bird scooters.
Yeah.
And he just keeps on talking. He's like, here's the things that are fucking with me, and I'm like... and brah, and I'm not even going to acknowledge it.
It's perfect. It's
like he's a man not built for this world.
This dude is like, I was into Seinfeld, but I always felt like, I had homies like my boy Donnie, who's out here now that I grew up with, who's like used to live down the street from me, which is so weird. He always loved Seinfeld. He was like, Greg, you got to get into it. He was like, it's your type of humor. It's like, you know,
it's totally
your type of humor, which you would like. And I would watch it, and I just felt, it felt very like, it's my type of humor, but it feels too phony, feels too fake. And it was because what I wanted was Curb Your Enthusiasm. Curb Your Enthusiasm is like, it's real. This is like, I mean, even though the way he shot it, I mean, this dude is just a genius, man. I started watching some of Larry David's old comedy.
Right.
He did this one thing where he would go on stage. He would go on stage and he'd tell a joke, and he knew the joke was bad, and he'd be like, oh, I'm sorry. Oh, I didn't mean to do it like that. Hold on. Let me. And he'd do it again, the same joke. And he'd be like, oh, I did it again. He'd do the same joke like for 5 minutes, the same exact one, trying to get it right. And that was the joke. And it was just, man, I'm like, y'all don't get this dude. I remember the first time I saw Curb Your Enthusiasm, I bought the DVDs. I bought probably like the first two seasons when I was living out in the Bay Area. And I came back home to Virginia and I was like, oh, my family's gonna love this. I was like, I found, like, this is it. This is what, this is like the comedy that can put us all together. And I showed it to him, and I was like, I don't get it. And I
what? Like, are you insane?
No. But yeah,
I do a joke now that reminds me of Larry David, where I go, my two favorite groups of people are old black men and women and old Jewish men and women.
Yeah.
Because they're each other's spirit animals without even knowing it.
Totally.
They're the same. They're mirrors of each other without even knowing it. And if Larry comes back to life, you know what his next life is going to be? Larry's going to come back to life.
Some black dude.
No. He's going to come back to life as a big black woman supervisor at the DMV, because that's where he belongs.
He's so funny. It's so funny. I think about like the Jewish friends I've met during comedy, and they talk about their moms, and I'm like, oh, your mom's just like my mom, just like overbearing and just
inappropriate,
and just, you know, just, I'm like, oh, your mom's just exactly,
but will stab any motherfucker for you. But like annoying as fuck, but if there's one person you know's
got your back,
it's your there's mama. No, yeah, and they got your fucking back. And you know what I like about it too, because I was trying to explain the joke like to myself.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes to do that, it's like, what's the meat of the joke? What am I trying to say, right? And I was like, oh, no, what I'm trying to say, how they're the same two people, is because an old grandfather will give you a ride to the airport, right? Like 6:30 in the morning.
Yeah.
And an old Jewish grandfather will give you a ride to the airport 6:30 in the morning, right? But here's the difference between these two groups of people and everybody else. You're going to hear about it at 6 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah. You definitely going to hear
it. You're going to hear that at 6:30 in the morning, right? Other people are going to be like, grit through the teeth. I'm not going to say anything. But it's going to be like, man, it's 6 o'clock. Oh, you could have picked a better time to fly?
You got your backpack.
He's like,
you got your backpack.
The earliest flight, really? You couldn't, like, when the sun's still down? Okay, whatever. But the next flight better be at fucking 9:30.
Or like, they wake up, they see you, they're like, I'm going to be in the car. Just waiting in the car for you.
It's like, man. And you know, they do anything for you,
yeah.
But you're going to have to hear the complaints about it. It's like, I'm not going to do this and pretend I'm going to be happy about it.
Which is fucking beautiful.
Which is why I love that fucking show.
Please watch Curb Your Enthusiasm. This season is so good. I love him and JB together.
JB is the best. The improv shit is what he said, what he goes, think about people when people wear Trump hats, how come they wear it backwards? Because don't you want to see an ass whipping coming?
Oh, I mean, that episode of him wearing the hat,
Oh. Because to get away from people? Just to, like, not to talk to anybody.
Dog. I love that. Because, yeah, I don't want to talk to people either. But I don't have the balls to do that. It's perfect. It's perfect.
If I could put something on my face that let people know don't talk to me, it would be so...
Oh, my God. It would be so great. It reminds me of the episode where... There's an episode, this is like probably season 6 or something, and Larry's mom dies.
Oh, yeah, and he uses it as a... I can't
go, my mom just died.
What's fucked up about...
He got some sex off of it. He's trying to fuck his wife. He's like, my mom just died, come on.
The funniest part about the premise of that thing, which is what I love about... That's why he's my spirit animal. Yeah. It's because he came back from New York, and his dad told him that his mom died. And that they already had the funeral, and that he didn't tell him because his mom was like, I don't want to bother you.
Yeah, because you're working.
And then he was upset about that, and then he realized, oh, I can use that as an excuse.
it's pure comedy. And today, like, I was talking about Larry David at work today, and I was, like, the beat, the bump, 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 and I was like, it made me think, I was like, did they find that beat before they did the show? And so I was like, I gotta know. So I just did some research, and there's a whole article where Larry's like, he was watching TV, and he heard this beat on a bank commercial, and he was like, man, that beat is perfect for comedy.
It's the tone of the show.
It sets up everything for just knowing this is like idiotic, and it's going to be corny as fuck. So he had his assistant find the beat and where it came from. And his assistant did it. He found out where it was. He went to the people that owned the beat. It was like I forget the company, because it's from like an Italian symphony. And he bought the beat and then just sat on it. He's like, I'm going to use this for something in the future. Right? Sat on it, created the show. Use the beat. Now the beat is iconic. This dude is a genius.
He's a comedic genius.
Comedic genius. Hands down.
My boy Chris. We always bring up Chris on the podcast.
Shout out to Chris. Good dude.
Chris, man. When he comes on here, he's going to be a guest. Because, you know what I'm saying? He just needs to be.
For sure.
He can attest to this. I remember when we first watched the show, when it first came out, he was just like, yeah. That's you.
Yeah.
Because I remember there was a time, Chris wasn't there, but I remember there was a Publix, a supermarket in Florida, right? And there was this old Jewish lady behind me, right? And then I'm making my sandwich order, and then the lady was like, can you put some jalapenos on there? And she just throws the jalapenos in there. I was like, sorry, can you chop up the jalapenos, and can you just like... evenly distributed throughout the sandwich, and then just layer it, so I have like, I just want a jalapeno bite every bite of the sandwich, right? And then like the secretary's looking at me, he's like, are you serious? I was like, yeah, I kind of am serious. I don't understand, because I went into a whole explanation of how, like, and I recently wrote a sketch about that Doug's gonna be in. Okay. I was like yeah, because when you make, I've realized when you put the jalapenos there, it backslides. Like it ends up on one end of the sandwich, and then it backslides to the other end of the sandwich, and I don't get the jalapeno bite every bite that I want. So if you evenly distribute it throughout the sandwich, no problem. And she goes, I don't think we could do that. I was like, what do you mean you can't do that? You have a knife? I was like, all right, can you just chop it up and just put it through the sandwich, please? Like, just doesn't make it a big thing, right? And then the lady behind you goes, have you ever heard of the show called Curb Your
Perfect.
The lady. And I was like, I'm the Black Larry David.
And he was like, this dude's a maniac. Such a good show. Such a good show.
So, what's inspiring you, Greg?
I think, I got a lot of shit going on right now. About to get married.
Boo! I mean, congratulations. I'm happy for you, Janelle. Losing another friend to that nigga named marriage. That nigga marriage undefeated, man. Oh, that nigga's undefeated.
Can't wait, man.
Can't wait to not see you ever.
Oh, what are you talking about? I'll still be out. Be out probably more.
That's gonna be edited.
No, it's not. It's true. You know, and we take moving, taking a lot of steps. I'm just encouraged, man. Just to keep pushing this, you know, the Kobe thing. Just keep pushing and just trying to be a better person. Trying not to let things worry me, and just inspired with life right now, man. And just trying to be better at my craft and just. Be more comfortable and just be trying to be more, just trying to be better to people. I feel like I'm already good to people, but you know, just trying to just be as good as I can be.
I can attest.
What?
That you're great to people.
Oh well, just
last month you saw me in the middle of it. Whatever. Okay.
Just trying to.
You're great, so I don't know how you're gonna get better. Oh, but just
trying to, you know.
Are you going for being a saint?
Oh,
fucking
man,
asshole.
No.
You trying to be a saint?
Nah, man.
What a dick.
I want to be good to myself.
When you become a saint, you know what, Greg? When you become a saint, I'm gonna give you a year to be an asshole.
I got faults. I'm just, you know, just really trying to work on myself and. Work on my craft and all my crafts and finding the time to do it. And, you know, I'm taking this new journey with my soon-to-be wife. And, you know, just want that to be good and looking for a counselor for us, for marriage counseling, because I want to do it the right way. And, just a lot of grown-up shit that's going on. So just trying to handle that the best way I can, yeah. Yeah, but inspired and feeling really good and feeling proud of myself and but not just you know I come from a very country hood place and for the things that I'm doing is just happy. Just happy. Yeah.
Good.
What about yourself, man?
I'm inspired by my friends doing shit. Doug with his new show.
Yeah, good show.
Leah K. Janian and her web series with Jenny.
Yeah, man.
Jenny's husband and the podcast I listen to. I love that podcast. That's how I get most of my sports. Jeff and Pat, yeah. Kurzia, every time I talk to her, she's at a doing a mic or writing on some shit.
She's hungry.
Yeah, she always tells me she has a camera and she's fucking... She's like, hurry up and fucking blah, blah, blah with the camera. I was like, Chris, fucking, I remember Chris at FIU, 3 o'clock in the morning, still studying architecture books and shit. And he's a fucking, I know a fucking guy who works in an architecture firm.
He's an architect?
Yeah, I know Chris was an architect.
Chris is an architect?
Yeah, he's a fucking... I know an architect, you know what I mean?
Wow, I didn't know
Chris. I think he's getting his license, but he works in an architecture firm, and he has his degree in architecture. So
that's dope. Chris, like, why you tell me, man?
He's, man, Chris is a...
Let's build some shit, dog. Let's get some property out in Joshua Tree and build some shit.
Chris could do that for you.
Totally.
I should connect you guys.
Yeah.
Chris's brother, Brian, who I always thought was an asshole sometimes, but he's still one of my good friends, but I admire the fact that he's always on point with his shit. He's always fucking been responsible. Dude paid off his... Bought a house before he was 30. Paid it off before he's 30, before he's 40. He's already paid off. My boy Marcus finally doing his journalism thing in football down back home in Miami. And he got married last year. Nice. Or 2 years ago. My sister about to be a nurse in a year and a half.
Yeah.
Her boyfriend going to be an engineer.
Dope.
So all my big sister Latoya, she just graduated. So all my friends and family, I'm inspired by y'all, and I love y'all.
No doubt.
And yeah,
Bradless, where can people find you on the interwebs?
Classic Bradless on Instagram and OxyContent on Twitter.
No more young.
No more young.
Just OxyContent.
Just OxyContent. Tongue-in-cheek social commentary.
Slowly, slowly going away. You guys can find me at Greg the Grouts on Twitter, Greg Comedy on Instagram. You can check out us on Twitter at Blackstage
Pod
and
Blackstage Podcast on Instagram.
And thank you for all our listeners. We appreciate you guys for supporting the podcast, supporting us. We really appreciate it. We love y'all.
We love y'all. Thanks. Shout out to Joy.
Shout out to Joy. Shout out to everybody at Wisecrack. for supporting the Black Stage Podcast. Rest in peace, Kobe. Rest in peace, Gianna. Rest in peace, everybody that was on that helicopter. And thank you. We'll see you guys next time. Peace.
Peace.